Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm John.
And that's Britt.
And I am the nerdy. She's the beautiful. Welcoming you back into another episode of SpongeBob's whole series recap. Here we are on volume 3. We're going to see how many episodes we can get in a roughly 40-minute span. So let's get to it. Starting off quick and strong, we've got the first episode featuring Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy.
And I love how it starts out, like, it's got the fish and...
Yeah, we've got the show within the show. They're actually watching the superhero show.
Right.
In which they're so fond of, they being SpongeBob and Patrick. It kind of reminds me of your show within a show, like, Super Friends from Dexter, I think it was called.
Yeah.
The League of Justice Pals, it's so far back. Kind of actually reminds me of Monkey, you know, the other Dexter sideshow.
He was a really cool character.
I just think his name was Monkey. He wore the gold M on him, and he was always an adorable little guy. That being said, we're going to go ahead and tell you what we thought of this episode. After we see that they're watching the show within the show, SpongeBob and Patrick don their Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy costumes, and this is a fun little scene. It's just kids being kids.
Where their ring is actually a donut.
I just like how whenever they, like, do the little Wonder Twins shit, there's just a bite taken out of Patrick's already.
I know, he's just right?
Can't help himself. That's just excellent. So we get to see Squidward outside just kind of sunning himself.
Right.
And as the boys are playing, they call him Reflecto. I can only imagine that's one of the Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy villains, and that's pretty cool.
And then they cover Squidward with a tent.
Yeah.
Which he destroys.
So after he's getting super mad at them at this point, he just kind of tells them that the heroes are in the retirement home just to get rid of them. You can tell he's just done with their crap for the day. He's kind of always done with their crap, but, you know, either
especially
or.
Especially today.
Especially today. So the pair goes out and tries to find the
Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy.
Good old pair of heroes. Mermaid Man asks SpongeBob if he's the TV repairman, and they kind of throw that joke in throughout the show. It's pretty funny. And, you know, you gotta understand, when we're talking about all these SpongeBob episodes, remember there is always SpongeBobby jokes going on, you know, non sequiturs from Patrick, physical comedy, improbable nonsense. Those kind of things we kind of leave out unless they're impressively funny, just to keep things kind of rolling. But hitting the highlights, finally SpongeBob says that there's evil afoot and that he wishes they would come out of retirement, to which Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy immediately both have different reactions. Right. Mermaid Man just goes full PTSD mode on him. And Barnacle Boy's trying to calm him down and getting angry at the boys for being pests. Eventually, SpongeBob and Patrick have made enough chaos to get kicked out of Shady Shoals. I mean, who saw that coming, right? Come on, we all love SpongeBob and Patrick.
We all knew it was coming.
But come on. As naive and sweet as they are, they're just trying to help. They do tend to get completely out of control sometimes. Especially in the mid-seasons, but that ain't a talk about today. Soon as they're outside, though, SpongeBob starts hatching a scheme. They need to bring them out of retirement. He makes a big speech. There's fireworks, need I point out, underwater, but honestly, this whole episode is just so good off to the start. You gotta understand that this is a meet your own hero story flipped on its head. Usually, they find out whenever someone meets their hero that they're bad people. That's what these cartoons normally do. It's kind of interesting to see that the people who are meeting their heroes are kind of the problem this time. It's kind of what would really happen in real life. I mean, Because the famous people are kind of just people still in their own eyes. And they wish people would just leave them alone. Half of them do. And then there's this kind of situation. The overeager fan and all that.
Right.
This is very well written for the boys. Not to really be horrible, but you can understand both sides. We get to the second encounter with Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy, and we find that they're just kind of doing old folks stuff, and they're in the cafeteria. SpongeBob reenacts one of their own memories for them, just to prove to them how much of heroes they really are, and were, at the same time, if you ask me, which is kind of... You know, I do like the retired superhero concept. Just because of how, like, big they are in their own universe. This is the point where I'd like to point out that Meatloaf, like, this season one just loves Meatloaf. Because eventually when we do the Opposite Day episode, actually that might be season two, I'm not sure. But whenever the opposite episode comes where Krabs is Plankton and Plankton is Krabs, I actually remember there being virtual Meatloaf in that episode, which I don't know why, but Plankton's live-action jokes, like, this is my lab, and this is my laboratory, that, I always did love the live-action jokes with Plankton specifically. They're always really, really strong. I actually found it pretty interesting myself, Brits, how the series basically makes SpongeBob drive his heroes out of retirement, ironically, to end him.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see all the powers of Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy at their elderly age, but it kind of occurs to me that the Submariner has less power than them, but they don't quite have Aquaman powers either.
Right.
In fact, they're kind of just mediocre superheroes.
You know what part I like from the, like, the cafeteria part?
What's that?
The part where he says, give him some more broccoli because he's a growing bully.
Here you go, son. I kind of like the chef.
I know, right?
They look hilarious. I love their design. And that mocking, judgy little tone he's using is just great.
I know, right?
So what eventually transpires is that they defeat SpongeBob and Patrick together, which Patrick was oddly missing in action. You know, he was there for this whole episode, but he wasn't really there as much as SpongeBob was. It was kind of weird that, like, they brought Patrick back into the fold for the final battle, but that's when Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy basically reflect on themselves and realize just how good they've still got it, and Mermaid Man feels 5 years younger, he says. So they start a new show called The New Adventures of Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy. I like how they edit it like an old 70s superhero show.
I know, right?
And they're only playing checkers. It's just that extra touch that just makes it amazing. But now we have some condiments to get ready. We gotta chop some pickles, because it's time to talk about pickles. Ironically, whenever we're talking about pickles, there's a couple other shows I want to bring up. First of all, I wanted to mention that in the first bit of this episode, you can see that SpongeBob is using secret menu lingo.
Right.
And I know that thanks to the Binging with Babish episode that shows how to make Bubble Bass's order. You can find that on YouTube. It's an excellent watch from Binging with Babish, or Babish Culinary Universe now. Definitely worth the watch, because it ends up the real burger that would have been his first order was actually a 24 patty melt that was bigger than someone's freaking whole body.
Dang.
So it's kind of just nuts to me how this actually ends up. I also really want to mention the DocuPants episode. So there's this thing called SpongeBob DocuPants. It's on Paramount Plus if that still exists when you're listening to this. and the whole series covered Dateline NBC style episodes of SpongeBob, and the Bubble Bass episode was kind of done in a local legend hearsay style, you know, like...
I love it.
Rumor has it that blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Just that very true TV crime show
right.
style narration. Very good content for the mind. Maybe not for the mind, but definitely a good one if you're a SpongeBob enjoyer. It was kind of odd to see, but I also noticed just before Bubble Bass walked in, they worked on a dozen Krabby Patties that are so small, I swear they're sliders.
I know, and you made them really, really fast, too.
Yeah. I just kind of wonder if this dude, like, did order slide. Do they sell them on the menu? I've seen the Krabby menu.
I don't know. I've never actually seen the whole menu.
I don't know. The menu changes all the time, but weirdly enough, they're having smaller patties. I mean, we've seen many different ones. There was the Patty Jr.
I think it was called
the Pretty Patties. Of course, we see the Double Patty. Carnival style. That was from the Health Inspector episode.
Yes.
Which was jarring at least and hilarious at best. So Bubble Bass Tiny comes up and Squidward offers him a salad. And this is a dude you don't want to tick off. Everyone knows about his critical manner and just how up his own ass he is. But I'm going to skip all that talk and just say that it is a showdown. Just full-on drag out to chef versus customer. And I do kind of like the dynamic. Just because I hate entitled people trying to act like they're better than everyone. Getting their 5 seconds of fancy eatery just because they ordered no salt. Just to get fresh fries. Unless you got a sodium problem, don't do that. Come on. Be cool. Don't make their job harder. So, the human warning sign that is Bubble Bass has destroyed SpongeBob's confidence. And I can tell you something, as someone who just kind of got out of a dark spot himself, anything can break self-confidence if you screw it up bad enough. And to SpongeBob, forgetting the pickles is a big thing.
Yeah, because the Krabby Patty is his big thing.
Yeah, it is breathing. It is his livelihood.
And it's life for him.
Yeah, it is his dream that he gets to live every day. And just no reason to belittle such a concept. And I, again, as a guy who is autistic, I can tell you that that has happened to me on multiple occasions. I cannot stand that kind of thing. I feel for our little yellow cube so much in this.
You know, I also don't like the fact that he threw Squidward practically like a ragdoll.
You noticed that too. Honestly, it's just another one of those Squidward being there when he was just existing and just getting punished for it again.
Being there at the wrong time.
Yeah. That's kind of just what Squidward does, though, outside of getting annoyed with SpongeBob. We might as well say that we'll make that twice that he threw Squidward. We've been kind of pausing the episode and coming back to review it.
He threw him out of the way again when he was trying to get his money back from Mr. Krabs.
Come on, do better. I also have to question the validity of the fact that Krusty Krab would have a money back guarantee no matter how small a print it was.
He put it so small that nobody would see it.
Well, still, though,
I still think it's stupid because he should know that, like, a smart person like Bubble Bass would probably end up knowing about it.
I mean, it's like, you know, read between the lines.
Yeah.
Well, you'd have to read between the lines that you're reading between to see how small that text is. And the fact that Mr. Krabs did paint that on there, because we've seen it's hand-painted, just tells me that it's supposed to be there for legality purpose.
Yeah.
And he never has to honor it because
it's so small no one can see it.
Yeah. So one guy pays attention in all of this time, and it's Bubble Bass. So after SpongeBob finds out that the front door is missing, like 2 feet to the right of him. We actually see him go out for weeks, just apparently having gotten worse since Krabs is out to see him. We get to see his mental breakdown. And to be honest, it's a gruesome sight. It's, if you will have had someone who was, not to be insensitive, like a pack rat or some kind of junk hoarder, it's particularly hard to look at. I don't have anybody like that in my life, but I've seen it on TV and frankly, yeah,
it's
just heartbreaking in some ways. Kind of dark for Nickelodeon, in fact.
Yeah.
Maybe not. This is 90s Nick still. Let's not get carried away. Mm-hmm. You kind of get a sense that Mr. Krabs was over at SpongeBob's to get his business back on track. And like DocuPants, I think it was just his intention until he got there and saw how bad SpongeBob was.
Then I feel like he started caring about him.
Oh, you know. This was back in the day before he was the black and white I want money man he is now. He was fatherly towards SpongeBob and caring of the people around him that meant something to him. Where right. He is now, we won't comment on because that's years down the line from when this episode was made. This is actually one of the strangest music tracks you're ever going to hear in the series. And it goes well with the confusion. It sounds distorted, almost as if it's being played backwards. I do love how they remix the theme to go with SpongeBob's absolute mental destruction.
Because I think the music goes with it because of him talking backwards.
Yeah. You can tell this sponge is not just messed up. He is so backwards that into walking forwards is impossible.
Like literally, it's distorted his confidence so much that he can't even talk right.
His reality has been absolutely shattered. I know we're going on about that a bit, but, like, the underlying mental thing here sells this episode to me more than anything else. Even the comedy is a little light here. This is what I consider a pretty serious situation if this were to happen in real life. Mr. Krabs becomes kind of a conscious to SpongeBob and helps him on the road to recovery and teaches him to give his confidence back, and it's just not working. One day, SpongeBob explodes on him and was able to use that aggression to make a perfect patty.
Yep.
And I kind of love the Miyagi-esque style that they've done for this.
It's awesome.
And the underdogging return of a hero is always a welcome thing in media for me. Just seeing the hero come back over with the sun behind him, ready for battle. Yeah, that's what it kind of reminds me about. We all know what time it is. It's time to get Bubble Bass back in the ring. We just paused it looking at Squidward getting pushed out of the kitchen by SpongeBob when he returned.
I love how he returns, too. It's like the Calvary kind of music in the background as he walks into the Krusty Krab.
It's just kind of crazy to me because, to be serious, I think this might be the funniest moment in the episode is the look on Squidward's face. As much as this wasn't about him as an episode, it's still funny how Squidward just seems to keep on getting beat on, despite having nothing to do with anything other than doing his normal job.
Well, I feel like when he gets pushed out of there and he's just standing there, he just looks so disinterested with everything that's going on around him.
He doesn't want to be part of it. He got in the middle because he's the only other employee.
Right.
Let's be honest here. Whenever you're running as tight a ship as Eugene Krabs, then you're going to have an employee that doesn't have one specific job. We've seen SpongeBob do almost everything.
Yeah.
I think he even worked the cash register, like, once, but it was the day they didn't have customers and Krabs had to not be there.
Yeah.
To be completely serious, I don't even know what to say about Squidward otherwise. I know I'm overanalyzing it, though.
Other than this whole episode, he's just been getting beat up by Bubble Bass, practically.
I mean, and when he's not, he's cooking food that's pissing everybody off. He doesn't know what he's doing. Just poor Squidward. Pour one out for him. Grab yourself a soda pop and chill back and toast. So the battle raged on, with Bubble Bass's order being ready on his arrival. SpongeBob had the patty ready to go. And the pickles were not missing again, even though Bubble Bass claimed they found the pickles under
his tongue.
The smoking gun that shows SpongeBob had never failed in the first place. What an episode, ladies and gentlemen. Always remember when confidence fails you that you just gotta get back up, brush off, and keep moving. It may be a little hard at times, but it will bring you back around. Look what it did for SpongeBob. He just needed to let it out.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually a very valuable thing to be here. I know I talk about morals a lot in this show, but it does have a surprising amount of morals compared to what people think. This show is a little more intellectual than its concept, but we'll see you in the next episode of SpongeBob, where we're going to be talking about Hall Monitor. My God, this episode. I mean,
I love this episode.
This is the one where basically SquarePants turns into a police officer in his own mind.
Yeah, and Patrick is afraid.
It's pretty cool. He wears a little cone hat, and there's all sorts of good SpongeBob jokes. Let's get into it. So the title card is awesome. It's got a little tiki background.
I love it.
Some very nice and rather action-y music that you'd probably want in front of a cop drama done in the SpongeBob universe. I do love it. I think it's well done. Of course, just like always. It honestly bugs the nine hells out of me that Mrs. Puff actually doesn't want SpongeBob being the hall monitor, considering it's his turn. But there's also just the fact that, like,
he's one of the only people left that can do it?
Yeah. Well, not quite that, so much as it is that he literally could be out of the class. Did she not ever think, like, you know, if he's the hall monitor, he can't be in here being a nuisance?
Right, he'll have to be in the hallway.
Yeah, and from the way she's acting the whole time trying not to get him in out of there, you'd think she'd want him gone. Especially knowing how much she puts up with his crap. But the whole class scene is kind of just a backdrop. It's not where the action is. You get a bit of comedy here and there. And he spends the whole day giving a speech about how he becomes the hall monitor. It's a good gag. But sadly, there's just not much to comment on. Right. Mrs. Puff is just clearly exacerbated by this whole thing. And we get out on the streets whenever Mrs. Puff hands him the hall monitor costume after he's basically wasted the whole day. It was really nice of her to lend him that so that way he could at least feel like he was being a hall monitor. But this turns out to be the biggest mistake of her career so far. Even giving SpongeBob a chance in the first place was one of them, though.
She gave him the outfit and he became a menace.
Yep, a menace to society. In which, as we keep on going, you're going to find out it's not good. There's actually something that's kind of bothering me about him leaving the boating school.
I know what you're about to say, too.
It's so funny because Mrs. Puff actually confirms that he overdid the speech after he directly asks if he overdid it.
Because he's like, well, do you think I overdid it a little bit? And she's like,
yes, you overdid it again, basically.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes me wonder, does this just happen, like,
on the regular?
Every time he gets to be hall monitor? Maybe that's why she doesn't really want him to be the hall monitor, if I'm being honest.
I wouldn't want him to be hall monitor either, if that's what he did every time.
Yeah, because now I kind of feel like I was thinking a little bit backwards before. It's probably just because he wastes the entire day every single time. Sometimes, when you're an educator, you really just gotta put your foot down.
Right.
And that includes here. even though she's being nice given the costume, the second he's running away, she said, "What is the consequences of what I've just done?" She knows she's done something, but
by God. She knows that there's going to be consequences.
Oh, yeah. And to be honest, it's still nice that she did it. I know that she's aware that she just caused problems, but really, we'll see at the end of the episode just how much of a problem it is for her specifically. So, SpongeBob starts going on a justice rampage, as I would call it. He's being a crossing guard, and he's doing all these things you'd expect a police officer to do, until he needs a deputy. In which he enlists Patrick with a fucking ice cream cone on his head and makes me die laughing. I wish I could talk more about these bits, but to be completely honest, it's just good SpongeBob jokes, as always. You guys know the good SpongeBob jokes and how funny they are.
And if you haven't seen it, you should go check it out.
Yeah. First of all, if you're listening to this, we're assuming that you've watched the episodes before you listen to this podcast, because otherwise that would just be a bit weird. Yeah, it's honestly a little hard to talk about jokes because they're so subjective. And that's why we usually only stick to a few episodes each volume, is because we want to talk a little bit more in depth, but we can't really talk about it. It just kind of makes it hard. I also want to tell you that during the whole thing, every single thing he does turns disastrous. When he was being a crossing guard, he caused the biggest pileup in Bikini Bottom for the last 30 years, more than likely.
Yeah.
He mocks a break-in to teach a couple a lesson who just wants to eat seaweed medley. I'm actually not sure about what the husband thinks about it, because he's just kind of neutral face, but I like seaweed salad, so I can't assume it's anything different. After he finds Patrick in town eating an ice cream cone, he also gets a newspaper talking about a maniac. Oh, shit. Now, he's in real trouble. There's real trouble about. And so, after enlisting the help of his best friend, they decide to team up and catch the maniac.
But you'll find out why that's bad later.
Yep. I also want to point out, I absolutely love the news fish.
Arm yourself with knowledge.
He's absolutely fantastic.
So Patrick stays behind while SpongeBob goes on to a different part of the town. But Patrick meets with the cops.
Ooh, crap. And here's the funny thing. Suddenly, the maniac has wanted posters and the police show Patrick SpongeBob on a wanted poster.
But I don't think he recognizes who it is.
And even funnier, the police just start messing with him, because every time they show him the flyer, he screams. That is one of my favorite moments of season one,
I can't even tell you why. It's so hilarious.
Just, they start, like, showing him, hiding, show and hide, show, hide. And every time it was shown, he would scream.
Right. And then they tell him to take the stupid cone off his head.
Yeah. Just great stuff. And that's when Patrick is by himself. It has turned night all of a sudden out of nowhere. Like, darkness just falls. It just...
just out of nowhere.
And
Patrick begins down the street once he knows what the maniac looks like. Under a streetlight, he sees the maniac.
Only to find out that it's just SpongeBob. It's actually just so funny.
And he keeps telling him, like, he's behind the he's in the mailbox, you know.
Yep, and SpongeBob is running away from every spot Patrick sees him, even though SpongeBob is the maniac and SpongeBob doesn't know that.
He just doesn't know that he's the one causing the problems.
At the end of the day, Patrick is basically completely useless in this episode, but I love him being there to support SpongeBob, just like always. And the police grab up SpongeBob. Unfortunately for Mrs. Puff, she decided that he was her responsibility for giving him the hall monitor costume, thusly putting her in jail for the first time I can think of in the series.
Right.
This would start a spiral. A spiral that will never end. Slowly consuming Mrs. Puff. Guys, I'm gonna be honest, Hall Monitor is a great episode. I'm sorry we didn't go into all that much detail about it, but for pacing issues, we had to keep this one and the next one a little shorter. Next, we're gonna rock out to some Jellyfish Jams in Jellyfish Jam. Honestly, with Hall Monitor, there isn't really a lot that's new in the series, and that's gonna kinda happen from here on out.
Right. We're
gonna have a few more firsts, but
I really do love that episode,
that's
though.
That's the best episode of the show for school for a while. I'm gonna be honest, that's my favorite of the boating school episodes, myself at the moment.
Right.
There's some good ones.
I love the ending. Like, I love how it ends with her, like, in jail and her saying, SpongeBob, I'd like to see you after class.
6 months from now. But with Jellyfish Jam, we do see a very interesting first. This is the first time SpongeBob gets annoyed by something else. So we just got 10 seconds into this episode, and SpongeBob has already been disguised as a rock, crumbled and out of it, grabbed a jellyfish,
and started milking it
like a cow. So,
is it like, he like a bird and a cow? Meaning the jellyfish?
I mean, I always assume they're caught like butterflies, but they produce milk type jelly. I don't know.
I don't even know
what
to call it.
I'm very confused about what a jellyfish is supposed to be standing for, but I thought it was birds for a while.
Yeah, same.
But seriously, I don't think we catch birds in nets out here. So
no.
That can't be the stand-in. By the way, the fucking jellyfish mood. And
like
then
a cow.
SpongeBob started talking in the French narrator voice. We're still only 30 seconds into this episode. That's what I'm saying. It literally comes out swinging like a wild boxer. And let's just get into the synopsis, because at this point, I think if I just keep doing a play-by-play, we'll be here all day. Eventually, the jellyfish starts to kind of follow SpongeBob home, and after some convincing, the jellyfish gets SpongeBob to take him in. And they start passing Squidwards while the jellyfish is on a leash.
And SpongeBob wants to show Squidward his jellyfish.
Now, annoy Squidward time is always going to happen during any episode here in the early season. And honestly, weirdly enough, Squidward seems to be trying to tell SpongeBob that it is indeed a wild animal. You know, like you shouldn't bring it home. And
SpongeBob just
says that it's okay and shows a bunch of tricks. Again, rapid fire on the jokes.
My
this
favorite
whole
is
time.
The one where the jellyfish literally is potting in a toilet and Squidward's like, I did not need to see that.
I love that moment too. It's great. And so SpongeBob brings him in and has a fucking party with him. Thusly, the chaos begins and we get to hear the Jellyfish Jam.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. This is my favorite instrumental. Now, that doesn't mean song. There's lots of songs with lyrics in this show. But for season one, this is my favorite instrumental.
I think it's
absolutely a party bop. I would play this in the background.
The one that they play all night long.
Yeah. And I believe he does this for a full 14 fucking hours.
Yeah.
I
think Squidward up.
I literally am past the part, so I wouldn't be able to tell you how long it was, but it's completely clear that the jellyfish is not going to go to bed after a while, and he starts bringing his little jellyfish buddies. Keeping throughout this episode is still those rapid-fire jokes, and to be honest, this is the fastest SpongeBob episode so far.
Right.
And it really shows how impressive the writers can be with this storyboarded style. Which, if you don't know, this show was storyboard-driven until pretty recently, actually. It means there wasn't really so much of a script as there is where the episode is supposed to go.
Right.
And the storyboards
is what directs what the characters do and how they animate. The storyboards are essentially this whole series' heartbeat at this point. And I'm going to be honest, I kind of love it that way. I know that it's actually going to cause a lot of problems throughout the series, such as continuity getting screwed up. I mean,
I agree with you on that.
There are times where continuity seems to matter and seems to not in other times, but overall, the storyboard style, I think, has a lot of benefits to a comedic character-driven show like this, and this episode is a perfect example of why that is. It allows for quick pace, quick jokes, and snappy dialogue. Watching the dance sequence with SpongeBob and the jellyfish make me wonder if epileptic people could even watch this. Because, honestly, that does cause a bit of concern in my mind. So, the dance sequence concludes after 12 hours, actually. I finally figured it out. It was 12 hours. I had to finally go back and look because it just bothered me.
Right. Well, then SpongeBob wants to go to bed.
And unfortunately, the jellyfish does not. He just wants to turn the stereo system back on and keep on partying. So SpongeBob ties him up to his bed so that way he can't get away. And he wishes everyone a good night after Gary scolds him and tells him, assumably, that he should let it go.
Right.
And,
well, he's just like, well, it's fine, Gary. He'll be fine, basically.
Yeah. Sadly, the jellyfish is able to slip eventually, and he gets a bunch of jellyfish buddies over for a big party, and SpongeBob loses control of his house. This is what I was talking about when I say that something else is annoying SpongeBob for the first time. And honestly, it kind of feels cool knowing that by itself, you know, like, what happens when SpongeBob gets mad or annoyed? It's actually kind of interesting, because he's usually such a relaxed guy in this part of the series.
Right.
Whether or not he's hyperactive later on, I'm not going to comment on. That's years from now, and I just want to pretend it doesn't exist right now. Eventually, a big fight breaks out when SpongeBob wakes up and finds his jellyfish has just invited all the friends over. There's a fight over the stereo system.
And the stereo breaks.
He eventually breaks it. Yeah, that's right. I almost forgot that it broke. And I thought he just turned it off and they got pissed at him. But no, you're right. Shit. So they start fighting over it. He starts getting zapped every 5 seconds. And the conclusion is where I actually find it kind of interesting. Because Squidward gets involved by turning his house towards SpongeBob's house and playing clarinet like an electric guitar. Oh my god, what a way. So, fortunately, the jellyfish get really pissed at Squidward more and end up going to his house. Again, kind of proving the fact that Squidward can't win in this universe and he might as well stop trying. Ladies and gentlemen, this one was a treat to watch, but sadly, even though I say that this is my favorite of this series so far, I will say that you gotta just watch it. The visuals and the jokes are what sell this one to you. The story so much is just SpongeBob gets a pet, learns that wild animals belong outside, and we learn that jellyfish like to break it down. But really, absolutely fantastic show, fantastic time, and some bopping music. You can't ask for more with a SpongeBob episode, to be honest.
Right, I agree with you on that one. I love SpongeBob.
Yeah, and I guess aside from that, I hope you guys enjoyed Volume 3. We're going to try to put more of these. Last year, we tried to put more of these up. We only got one out last year, so we're going to try, now that we're doing a weekly show, we're going to try to do these a lot more. You're also going to hear next week will be our first re-upload. We're going to be doing our re-upload of the Nicktoons episode of the AI Writers Club. It's going to be our first repost We don't know if that's coming up on a Thursday or a Tuesday. It just kind of will for now.
So that should be enjoyable.
So it's pretty cool. It's a great episode. We only pulled the AI Writers Club off the internet because we want to consolidate everything. Usually reposts will go on Thursday, but I want to get a couple of those going first. Just so you got a few AI episodes to listen to. And if you hear a new one instead next Tuesday, just assume Thursday's the day we're doing that one. Either way, Britzy, what do you think about this batch of episodes? It's still...
I love these episodes. They're still, like, some of my favorite episodes to watch of SpongeBob.
Yeah. Ironically, in Volume 4, we're going to get to talk about another one of my favorites just because of... Just all the visuals. We get to talk about Sandy's Rocket. That was a really good episode. And a few other good ones. They're all good, of course. But in Season 1, it's just all killer, no filler. Just a lot of good times. So come on back with us next time where we'll talk about Volume 4 with the next two episodes of the full show. My name has been John.
And I've been Britt.
And we'll see you in the next one. Peace now.